This podcast was produced in conjunction with the Fuqua School of Business at Duke University. Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Graham Richmond, and today we're going to do something a little different. Instead of candidate profile reviews or conversations with admissions officers, we're going to talk about how the MBA itself is evolving, specifically how the degree has adapted to the uptick in tech and entrepreneurial pursuits by students. I know that many of our listeners have been clamoring for this kind of content around business school and kind of career outcomes, so I'm really excited to be talking about this topic today. Since I'm by no means an expert, we have some incredible guests from Duke University's Fuqua School of Business to help shed light here. And I would like to welcome, first we have Russ Morgan, who's the Senior Associate Dean for Full-Time Programs and a professor of the Practice of Marketing. Welcome, Russ.
Thanks so much, Graham. We're thrilled to spend some time with you today.
And we also have Jamie Jones, who's the Executive Director for the Fuqua Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation and an Associate Professor at Fuqua, also in the Practice of Management. Welcome, Jamie.
Thanks, Graham. Happy to be here.
And finally, we have Michael Wong, who is the Sector Director for Coaching, Career Prep, and Business Development for Tech. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
So I feel like we have like a dream team here when it comes to talking about how the MBA has evolved and specifically, you know, in these areas of tech and entrepreneurship. But Russ, let's start with you. I wanted to just hear from you, like, how have the career interests of MBA students evolved over the last, say, 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I would say that I think there's some areas of increased interest that are, some are more obvious, and there's some that are a little bit less obvious. For me, on the more obvious side, my answer is going to connect to some of what I expect you're going to get to hear from Jamie and Michael on some specifics related to tech and entrepreneurship. But as an overview, I'd say that the technology sector has been so strong for us of late. And we've seen student interest in careers and tech continue to grow over the last decade. And for me, looking at this from the top down, it's a real reflection of both student interest and what I see as just robust opportunities for MBAs. Amazon, Microsoft, Dell, Google, Apple are all among our top employers. STEM has increasingly found its way into the MBA, and I think many MBA programs include more in the curriculum that connects to tools and to models, as well as the applications related to managing technology. Perhaps a little less obvious is interest in being prepared to be an entrepreneur. For some students, the interest in being an entrepreneur is right away following graduation. For others, it's preparing to make that move in maybe 5 or 10 or maybe even 20 years. For those looking right away, we're seeing some who've already, you know, they already have an idea, they've done some research, and they want to execute and launch a venture. While others, they may have an interest in entrepreneurship through acquisition and working with a search fund to find a compelling operating opportunity. So at Fuqua, we're also seeing a mapping of interest between career and our values, including thinking about business as a force for good. So it's something that we have a positioning in and our dean has talked about. And that can mean different things to different people, but it includes an interest in social entrepreneurship, an interest in impact investing, and an interest in careers directly focused on improving the lives of those around us, like health sector.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I think that last point kind of permeates all career areas in some respect. And it's something that I've been working in this domain for, I guess, about 20 years now. And that's something that's definitely crept in. I mean, obviously, the tech jobs and entrepreneurship have grown. I've seen that across the board at any number of institutions, but it's also interesting to see this kind of interest in social impact and corporate social responsibility and so on. What do you think about the value proposition of the MBA? Is it different today than it was in the past?
That's a fantastic question. I would say that part of the value proposition of an MBA has been very consistent over time. And I think students come in with a desire to overlay new skills and perspectives that they feel can open up a long-term career that would otherwise be unattainable. I think that's been relatively stable over time and something that we've been incredibly successful in delivering on. Our students do well in the short term with that first role out of Fuqua, but they're also prepared for long-term success. And with the long term in mind, we are seeing some things like lifelong learning has been an area where we see schools having recently invested quite a bit to try and enhance that value proposition. So with an eye toward where we are currently, I think there is a mindfulness of the entering MBAs that includes thinking about, you know, how the pandemic and health-related issues affect their experience. And you can add to that the economic impact or uncertainty as a result of the impact and the disparity in those effects across industries and roles at organizations. On top of that, if you're in the U.S., there's also the social justice movement that affects how prospective MBAs are looking at the degree and how they might use the degree to achieve good. I also want to add that schools are very cognizant of this value proposition, and while schools and the students are connected in the exchange around this, students reap tremendous benefits, economic and otherwise, from the MBA. But we recognize it is very expensive to get an MBA. So with that, I see that schools have been taking strides recently to contain costs, to limit tuition increases. And at Fuqua, we've worked very hard to increase scholarship over the last few years and financial aid to try and keep that value proposition in balance.
Got it. That makes sense. I guess I wanted to kind of turn to Michael. And Michael, you know, just so that our listeners understand, your role is basically you're working with the MBA students and in particular those focused on tech, looking to land jobs and you know, get into that domain. Is that accurate? Maybe do you want to just give us a quick summary of like what it is that you do so everyone understands?
Yes. So I'm the sector director for technology here at Fuqua and the CMC. And so I work with students who are interested in getting careers in technology. In addition, I spend a lot of time with MBA recruiters and hiring managers and our Fuqua alums to really understand like the latest trends, especially hiring that's going on in the various tech companies around the country.
Got it. And, you know, per Russ's comment, you know, about tech kind of continuing to be, you know, a big, strong, you know, emerging area for students. Can you tell us more about like, how has that happened over the years? Like what have you seen changing over time and, you know, the sort of emergence of MBA graduate interest in tech?
Yes, you are correct. You know, tech has become much more popular over the last few years. Looking at Fuqua specifically, you know, for the class of 2017, 19% of our graduates went into tech. And for 2019, it increased 23%. And we're finalizing the 2020 numbers, but it appears to be another year of increase in tech. And this increase is really being driven by the financial successes of the big tech companies like Amazon, Google, and Microsoft. If you look at the headcount, you know, in 2017, Amazon had 560,000 employees. In 2020, that's over a million employees and nearly 50% increase in about 3 years.
Wow.
Google, you're seeing somewhat the same trends, you know, 80,000 employees in 2017, 127,000 employees in 2020. And this overall increase means that there are more opportunities for our MBAs. And on the student side, you know, tech is very desirable because you get to work on projects that have the ability to change the world. I mean, like, who wouldn't want to work on the latest Internet of Things, increase market share for cryptocurrency, or be involved in bringing Tesla's fully autonomous vehicle to reality?
Yeah, I can see the appeal. And I will say, you know, one of the things we do with this podcast, we often connect with candidates who are, you know, headed off to business school, and they're always, you know, we get to hear from them about like what are they interested in, and it's amazing to me how often there is this interest in going to one of the tech companies. It's really from back in my days when I went to business school, it was either banking or consulting, you know, and then there were a few other things that people might do, but it's just amazing to have seen this uptick, and yeah, people want to work on stuff. It seems that. That they are kind of aware of and have interacted with a bit. So I think this idea, like you say, of working with a Tesla or, you know, whatever it might be, Amazon, et cetera, is really appealing. What are some of the jobs, though, that B-school grads tend to pursue in the tech space? Like, you mentioned a couple of companies, but I'm imagining the list is, you know, fairly long. But where do these folks end up in terms of role and also like geography?
So the most popular roles that MBAs, you know, are attracted to are product managers. So these are like mini CEOs of a product. They oversee and work closely with different functional areas like marketing, operations, engineering. They lead products from the ideation stage to product launch to future roadmap. And then another popular role that MBAs really are attracted to are product marketing managers. They manage how a product is brought to market. They help manage and prioritize future product features. And when you ask what the most popular companies are, you know, it's the same list that Russ mentioned earlier. It's the Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Dell, IBM, Apple. And from a geographic perspective, most end up on the West Coast, like in the Bay Area, Seattle. But some MBAs end up in tech hubs in Austin, Texas.
Okay. So I want to, if we can, we'll probably come back to you, Michael, because I have more questions about tech. But I wanted to turn to Jamie for a second. Jamie, Russ mentioned the emergence of entrepreneurship as well. And so I wanted to kind of dig a little bit there. I mean, specifically, like, how do you think business school students are equipped to succeed in an entrepreneurial venture? And what are some of the myths and misperceptions that you think exist about B-school students and entrepreneurship, if there are any?
So first, let's acknowledge that there are significant differences in how you manage a startup versus how you manage a big company. But in the end, fundamentally, startups are still companies. And so having strong business fundamentals are really essential to startup success. And so MBAs are equipped with those strong business fundamentals. They know how to think strategically about their startup in the larger market and in the competitive context. But the myth is that MBAs are trained to think within a set of frameworks and optimize systems, not create something new and innovative. But there's plenty of data to debunk this myth. In fact, PitchBook recently analyzed startup activity from only the top 12 MBA programs, so a really small subset of who all's out there. And there are thousands of companies that have been founded by these elite MBAs, and there's at least 72 unicorns that have been created, again, by MBAs. And so at MBA programs like Fuqua, our MBAs receive training that helps them cultivate an entrepreneurial mindset, exercise entrepreneurial action, and really practice testing their ideas and learning from failure. So really equipping them to go out and have success in a startup.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think there has, even when I was in business school, there's always this notion that, oh, you don't necessarily need an MBA to start a company. I cannot think of anything being further from the truth. I mean, I feel like, you know, the number of people that I've met in my, you know, work experience who are trying to raise funds or whatever they're doing and who are relying on the skills that you learn in the core curriculum and even some of the elective courses, obviously, in business school, it cannot hurt to get this education. And I think it's tremendously useful. What is there anything that you would want prospective business school students to know about entrepreneurship as they think about pursuing an MBA? Because I feel like some of our listeners are, you know, they're sort of on the fence, right? They're thinking about business school, they have an entrepreneurial idea, but then they're getting, you know, they have the little voice on their shoulder saying, oh, maybe you don't need an MBA. You know, they're probably debating this. So anything that you would want to say to someone who's kind of thinking about business school and who wants to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, entrepreneurship is, you know, by definition, is seeing opportunities that others don't and marshaling the resources to create solutions that customers want. And so given that, an MBA can be additive in three big ways. First is, you know, it gives you a good set of business management fundamentals, right? You're building that practice. It helps you create time for you to gain exposure to new ideas and industries, to test new ideas in a low-risk environment, and still get that firsthand feedback from countless experts that will help you hone your idea. And finally, it provides access to new networks, and those new networks can lead to finding potential employees for your startup, or a co-founder, or customers, and also funders. And so I think there's a lot that the MBA adds to someone who wants to be entrepreneurial and to come in and test new ideas during their MBA. I think an MBA is a great way to take the time to explore a startup. As you learn in your courses, you have the opportunity to immediately apply those concepts in real time. This enhances your classroom experience, but it also gives you the tools and a longer runway to be successful with your startup. The other thing I'd really like to note is that regardless of the outcome of your startup, whether you succeed or fail, the experience of working on that startup during your MBA is going to uniquely position you in the eyes of other organizations you might want to join down the road. So regardless of whether you immediately leave your MBA and become a full-time entrepreneur, if you're recruiting for some of those big tech jobs, having gone down that pathway, explored, learned the tools, it's going to better position you for those product management roles that Michael was just talking about.
Yeah, that makes sense. So Russ, in light of what we've just heard from Jamie and Michael about, you know, students interest in both tech and entrepreneurship, how has Fuqua evolved its programming and like reallocated resources to reflect these interests and this kind of shifting interests and priorities of students? In particular, like, what are the updates that have been made for those with an interest in tech and entrepreneurship?
Yeah, we've tried to acknowledge that it's a very dynamic world, and we're continually evaluating what we're delivering in our curriculum, and the faculty are consistently reevaluating what they're teaching in their existing classes. In addition, we periodically do a full evaluation of the curriculum, and from time to time we'll redesign our core required courses and consider more deliberate additions to the elective curriculum. And so we just went through that process, and after, I would say, we probably did dozens of focus groups with our students, with meetings with faculty, we had conversations with recruiters and input from our board of visitors. We identified a few areas where we wanted to reallocate resources and make them priorities. And to your question, Graham, two of those top three priorities that emerged include technology and entrepreneurship. And so we just added a new required course this month that focuses on technological transformation of business. So students are exposed to the role that technology plays in business and society. And it lays a foundation for students to think about a roadmap for how they might develop themselves further through additional technology-related courses. So that new course feeds well into an elective track we have now that's it's a STEM-certified track with a focus on technology management. So we have a menu of courses in that track that students can choose from that can be aligned with specific interests that they may have. And then on the entrepreneurship side, we created another core course that we just launched called Entrepreneurial Mindset and Action. So our curriculum review provided this lens that is very entrepreneurial, where we see business today requiring talent have this innovative spirit that Jamie was talking about, and the ability to combine that and to see opportunities, create value, and pull together the resources to solve the complex problems that we face today. So similar to the tech course being a gateway to other electives, the entrepreneurship course provides a gateway to a number of electives that include traditional courses like, you know, it could be entrepreneurial finance, but also we've got a host of applied experiential courses. And so we round that out with some curricular concentrations we've had, some old, some very new, but areas like decision science, fintech, entrepreneurship and innovation, and social entrepreneurship. And we also have a great deal of co-curricular activity through clubs and activities and things like the tech conference that Michael works with the students on that we host each year.
Okay, so that's helpful just to understand. I guess, Michael, can we, based on what Russ mentioned, you know, and he actually referred to there's a STEM track as well. I guess I was kind of curious specifically, like, which classes and resources are in place to support students who want to pivot into tech? And is that STEM designation helpful? Like, if you're someone trying to get into tech and you can kind of tout the fact that, you know, that the track that you've taken in the MBA program is STEM designated, what are recruiters saying about that? And yeah, just what are some of these resources available to candidates trying to make that pivot?
Yeah, from the academic side, you know, some of the courses that Russ mentioned, and when I surveyed students who work in tech currently, like, what were the most impactful courses for your career success in tech? They've mentioned Management Communication 1 and 2. These are courses that teach MBAs how to communicate effectively, which come in very handy during their interviews and during presentations when they're doing their internship. Additionally, decision models. They teach MBAs how to use models to solve complex problems, leveraging statistics and tech. You learn crystal ball to make Monte Carlo simulations. And then another course is information management. You learn skills such as SQL, Power BI, Tableau, VBA macros in Excel, which are useful skills to have when you're using lots of data sets to solve problems. So the Tech Club also has a series called the Pipeline Series, which prepares students for all aspects of recruiting in tech. So they get training on how to answer effectively, why you're interested in tech, to solving tech casing, to technical questions for PM interviews. And then we have 50 FUQA alums who work in tech who serve as mentors to between 1 to 4 first years to guide them through their first year tech internship recruiting. So, you know, looking at the importance of the MSTEM, when I speak with, you know, HR tech recruiting managers on why they select one resume over another, you know, in part, they look for evidence of a passion for technology. And so one way to demonstrate that is by pursuing the MSTEM certificate. So, you know, not only do you show your evidence, but you also are taking courses that will really help you to be successful in technology. So you take like business analytics, marketing innovation, supply chain management, innovation, and crypto ventures.
So it sounds like there's a lot on offer. I guess one of the things I'm thinking about as well is, and this is a question that I think sometimes people debate on, you know, online forums and things like, but what are the skills that B school grads bring into a startup or, you know, any company in the tech space? Because for a time, I want to say maybe it was Amazon many years ago, were saying things like, oh, we don't need MBAs. Now they've obviously, I think they're one of the biggest, they hire the most MBAs of anyone. But there's been this like, you know, about face, but it's always been out there, this debate. So what would you say, Michael, are some of the skills that business school grads are bringing to startup companies or just to tech companies in general?
Yeah, I think MBAs bring, you know, flexibility, very strong analytical ability, and leadership skills. And, you know, when you look at tech and big and startups, you know, they're always reprioritizing, you know, and they have to do this in order to be successful and even just to survive. You know, an interesting story that I heard, you know, a few years ago was that, you know, on the main campus, Facebook in Menlo Park, it used to be the former Sun Microsystems campus. And so instead of replacing the Sun Microsystems sign at the entrance, Mark Zuckerberg just flipped it over, leaving Sun on one side and putting Facebook on the other. And he did this to remind employees that if they didn't constantly innovate, they could easily fall to their demise like Sun Microsystems. And so tech looks for employees and leaders who are flexible and constantly willing to innovate. So that's one skill that MBAs bring. They also bring, you know, very strong analytical skills like accounting, finance, operations, and these are critical to learn so that they can understand when and where potential problems lay and how best to solve them. And then finally, they, you know, bring organizational behavior and leadership. So these classes at business school teach them how to manage effectively and lead others to get things done.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like that's often, it's often these, you know, kind of hard skills or, well, some of these are soft as well, but just the skills that I associate with like almost the core curriculum in business school that are like sorely needed sometimes in tech companies or, you know, that the MBAs are just looked to bring. So that's really useful. Jamie, let's get back to you. I want to talk a little bit more about entrepreneurship and specifically, like, how does FUQA support and guide folks who are interested in pursuing an entrepreneurial endeavor during and after B school? And tell us a little bit more about the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation that you run at FUQA.
Yeah, FUQA has a broad array of support that we offer our students that are interested in entrepreneurship or developing their entrepreneurial mindset. And that ranges from the world-class curriculum that Russ has mentioned to funding opportunities, which help support prototyping and pilot activities for their startups. But I could spend a lot of time talking about the specifics of what we offer, but what I really want to do is highlight a couple things that I think are pretty unique to FUQA and the entrepreneurial offerings that we have. And first is that, you know, we are part of a world-class university. We're part of Duke University, and we offer extensive experiences at FUQA to connect across the university. We have opportunities and classes that center on being cross-disciplinary and offering that cross-disciplinary collaboration, which allows students to interact with the other talent across Duke, from, you know, PhD students in engineering to surgeons at Duke Hospital. And second, we've built a really strong collaboration with our Office of Licensing and Venturing, which is where is kind of the licensing and patent office of the university. And that allows our students to actually work on commercializing technologies that have been invented at Duke by Duke investigators.
That sounds really interesting. To what extent, I guess you may not know this off the top of your head, but do you have a sense as to how often does like an MBA student at Fuqua kind of get together with someone from another area of the university to help commercialize a technology? Like, let's say there's an undergrad engineer or even someone in another graduate program or something. Is that kind of thing happening? And is the business school helping to facilitate that?
Indeed. Our new venture creation classes, which are kind of the central classes that focus on developing a business, on identifying a problem to solve and deciding is this a business worth doing? Those classes are cross-disciplinary. They're offered at Fuqua, but we have students from around the university. So we have undergraduate computer science majors in that class. We have master's of engineering students in that class, and then a lot of MBAs, and they come together and form cross-disciplinary teams. And you know, almost every team that gets formed in that class has representation from other parts of the university on it. And in fact, some of our biggest success stories have come from that cross-disciplinary collaboration, and specifically with the linkage between our students and our Office of Licensing and Venturing. So Matt Cain founded Precision Bioscience, which is a gene editing technology. It was a technology that was developed at Duke, and he linked up with the scientist while he was here as a student and recently went through an IPO. Alan Ma, who is a graduate of this most recent class, worked with the Office of Licensing and Venturing on a technology that was invented by a Duke investigator. The venture is called CasTag Biosciences, and they help researchers tag specific genes that are used in the CRISPR process. And the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation at Fuqua supported Alan to work with CasTag over the summer, and he was able to help them develop their business development planning, do the fundraising that they needed, and that allowed him to actually join CasTag immediately post-graduation as a co-founder. So we have a lot of success stories that specifically are related to where Duke students, Fuqua students, connect with other students across the university or connect with investigators that are developing new technologies.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, I think that's one of the benefits of, as you said earlier, like being part of a large university. There's that ecosystem in place where you can kind of cross-pollinate. Are there any other examples you wanted to share of companies that have been founded by Fuqua students or grads that are out there?
Yeah, I would love to talk about it. We've had two other recent IPOs, Derek Zhang, who founded EHang, and that's actually an aerial vehicle technology. So really cool, kind of the next generation of when we're all having our own little aeropods that transport us to and from, as well as Shankar Musunari of Ocugen, which is a biopharmaceutical company that is focused on addressing rare and underserved eye diseases. But I want to share one more really recent example, which is BioMilk, and that was co-founded by Michelle Eggers. Michelle was actually a classmate of Alan's. She just graduated in the spring. During her first year at Fuqua, she used our new venture courses to explore a different idea, and after months of testing, realized that perhaps that idea didn't have enough teeth to really warrant moving forward. But she was committed to finding an opportunity. And so she went out in search of a new opportunity. She connected with Lila Strickland, who's a cell biologist. And together, they're working to produce cell-cultured breast milk, which will offer families a more nutritious and more sustainable option for feeding their babies. And what's really remarkable, I mean, Michelle's just incredibly tenacious. And she and Lila were able to actually close a $3.5 million seed round of funding in June, in the heart of the pandemic,
wow,
which I think just speaks volumes to the quality of the idea and the potential, the life-changing potential of the idea.
Yeah, that is amazing. I think, and especially to raise funds, in these crazy times. But that's really interesting. Michael, I wanted to ask you, if you're willing. We had Jamie kind of give us some examples of companies that have been founded by Fuqua students or grads. Would you be willing to share, are there any Duke alums that are in positions, senior leadership positions or CEO positions of some of the big tech companies. I'm thinking of one person that comes to mind immediately, and I presume our listeners know, but you might want to speak to that, and if there's anyone else out there that people should be aware of.
Yes, one of our most famous grads is Tim Cook, who is the CEO of Apple, and he has been at Apple for, I believe, 10 plus years. He did his MBA at Fuqua, worked in the Research Triangle Park after getting his MBA, and then he brought him and then some of his senior leadership team from the Research Triangle Park to Apple. And I think he and then some of his folks that he brought from this area are also in leadership.
Got it. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, Tim Cook is a really prominent name, and I'm assuming that Apple recruits as a result of that. And Russ, let's go back to you, because we've talked a lot today about how the MBA has evolved. And, you know, heard from both Jamie and Michael about all the opportunities specifically in tech and entrepreneurship at Fuqua. But are there like certain inalienable things that will never change about an MBA? Like, are there just, you know, things that are the same as they were when Tim Cook did his MBA, you know, kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a really important question, given all the discussion that we've had today with the focus on tech and entrepreneurship and this conversation we've had around just how adaptive and flexible we are and other MBA programs have been around the MBA degree. I think it's important to say that, you know, there's some things that have held true. There's this solid foundation that's been there for over a century. And I think the lens that we and others have had is that we need to provide the talent that businesses and organizations are looking for. And yes, there's an adaptive piece to that, but there's also a foundational piece. And so on the one hand, I think our recent changes are seen by employers as absolutely adding value through the new curriculum, through the entrepreneurship and technology courses we talked about. But we have to be really careful, though. We don't want to lose sight that employers don't come to Fuqua or other top MBA programs to hire the best programmers in the world or the best mathematicians in the world. They come to Fuqua to find the best leaders in the world. So the ones who can step into a functional role and have the background and the skills to excel, while importantly, they make the people around them better. They pull their teams together to work toward a common purpose. They enhance the lives of the people at that organization, and they're going to elevate the performance of the organization. So I would say that even with all these changes that we're seeing, I feel the foundation for an MBA continues to be the important leadership development that students wouldn't otherwise attain.
Well said. Yeah, I think that's true. Again, I have an MBA, and I feel like a lot of the stuff that's been useful to me are some of those things that are still taught, you know, to this very day. I think it was Michael earlier mentioned crystal ball and some of the things that we use in business school that are really, you know, they stick with you over the long term. So I did want to, we're going to wrap up, but I wanted to really sincerely thank Jamie, Michael, and Russ. This was really informative for me to just learn more about, you know, how things have been adjusted to accommodate the changing business world that we live in and the changing sort of, you know, trends amongst MBA candidates, right, in terms of what they're interested in. So again, thank you to all of you. Thanks, Jamie, Michael, and Russ, for taking part in this.
Thanks, Graham.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Graham.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. So that's going to do it for this special episode of the Clear Admit podcast. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Please remember to rate and review this podcast wherever you listen, and we will see you soon.